Welcome to the Information Systems for Business podcast. The main purpose of the podcast is to augment the book Information Systems for Business, An Experiential Approach, 5th edition, by Franz Boulanger, Craig Van Slyke, and Rob Crossler. The book is published by Prospect Press. I'm your host, Craig Van Slyke. This episode is for the 5th edition of the textbook. Before we get started, I wanted to give a couple of disclaimers. The podcast purposely omits many details to get to the high points of each chapter, so listening to the podcast is not a substitute for reading the book. Each episode contains my view of the most important points of each chapter. Your professor may have a different view of what's important. The podcast is solely my responsibility, so any errors are on me, not my co-authors, your professors, Prospect Press, or my employer. All right, enough with the disclaimers. Let's get to the good stuff. In this chapter, I cover the most important points from Chapter 12, Information for Electronic Business. Chapter 12's opening story discusses how AI, artificial intelligence, is impacting electronic business. One well-known example is recommender systems, which are typically driven by AI. AI algorithms use your past searches and purchases along with other data to develop recommendations. AI also enables dynamic pricing for services such as Uber and Lyft. Eyeglass retailer Warby Parker uses AI for many different things, including an augmented reality system that lets customers virtually try on glasses to see how they'll look. The focusing story includes some other examples, so wait for it. Read the chapter. Chapter 12 explores some of the ways the internet and associated technologies have changed the way business is carried out. To an extent, these changes are sometimes hard to perceive because we're so used to conducting business online. After the focusing story, Chapter 12 discusses what we mean by e-business and discusses some different types of e-business. Note that e-business and e-commerce are typically used interchangeably. Technically, e-commerce pertains to transactions such as buying a product. E-business is a broader term that encompasses any business-focused interaction. So we use e-business because it's a more inclusive term. Next, Chapter 12 covers e-business models, which concern how businesses make money. This is followed by a discussion of the technical and social factors that have enabled e-business. After this, the chapter describes some important impacts of e-business, followed by a brief discussion of design and e-business. Business-to-business, or B2B, e-business is discussed next. Chapter 12 closes with a brief discussion of how e-business is affecting how governments provide services to their citizens. Here are the main points from Chapter 12. E-business, which is an electronic means of conducting business interactions, has transformed how business is conducted to an extent that the old ways seem almost laughable. Back in the day, it was unusual to use a credit card. Debit cards didn't exist. We paid for things with cash. How often do you use cash? I'll bet not very often. E-business allowed us to move from carrying cash around to using a card or, now, our phones to pay for everyday purchases. This is just one of many transformations brought about by e-business. There are a number of terms that are used when discussing e-business. See Table 12.1 for some of the most important. We can divide the various types of e-business into four categories based on what types of entities are interacting. Business-to-consumer, B2C, like when you buy some batteries from Amazon. Business-to-business, or B2B, an example might be when Walmart electronically places an order with one of its vendors. C2C, or consumer-to-consumer interactions, are when you buy something from an individual on eBay. Government-to-constituent, or G2C, interactions involve things like renewing your driver's license online. There are many different types of e-business models. A business model is how a company generates revenue. Some important e-business models include online retailing, content providers, social media, and e-business infrastructure providers. See Table 12.2 for more examples and details. Both technological and social factors have helped enable e-business. Technology enablers include graphical user interfaces. Believe it or not, in the early days of the internet, we had to type text commands to do things. And high-speed internet access, which allows downloading large files such as videos. A less visible but still critical technology enabler is interoperability, which is the ability of different types of systems to communicate and interact. Because of the internet's interoperability, it doesn't matter whether you use a PC or Mac when you visit Amazon.com. Interoperability is also important behind the scenes since it allows providers to use many different types of operating systems, web servers, and so on. Critical mass was a key social enabler. Basically, critical mass means that there are enough buyers to sustain the business of sellers and enough sellers to attract buyers to the internet. This seems almost silly today, but in the early days of e-business, many online business efforts failed because they did not achieve critical mass. Network effects are also important. Network effects means that every new member to a network adds value to the network. Think about a social media platform. It's not a lot of good if there's only one user. But each new user makes the platform more valuable, which attracts more users who bring more value to the platform, and so on. Figure 12.1 shows how this works in a nice graphic. Channel compression and channel expansion are two important high-level impacts of e-business. Channel compression, which is also called disintermediation, is when the distribution chain from manufacturer to the ultimate customer is shortened by removing intermediaries. For example, if you need a new computer, you can buy it directly from Dell or Apple without having to go to a retail store. Channel expansion is the opposite. It's the addition of intermediaries. Kayak.com is a good example. It doesn't sell airline flights, but it pulls flight schedules and prices from many sources and presents them in a useful way. Real estate websites such as Zillow and Trulia are also good examples of intermediaries that did not exist before e-business. The design of e-business websites often has a large impact on their success. See the chapter for some specific examples. Most of us are used to business-to-consumer or B2C e-business. However, business-to-business e-business is actually a much larger market. Electronic data interchange, or EDI, supply chain management systems, and electronic marketplaces are important e-business enablers. Check out the book for some important details about EDI. Search engine optimization, or SEO, involves improving the visibility of web pages on search engines such as Google or DuckDuckGo. I just love saying that. It's pretty complicated and constantly changing, so keeping a website near the top of search results is a constant challenge. Companies can also pay for higher search engine rankings through keyword bidding or pay-per-click. Table 12.5 shows some examples of the most expensive keywords. Spoiler alert, insurance is the most expensive. I just checked this morning, and it's still on top and has been for a while. The use of information technologies to improve how governments provide services is an important growing trend. E-government occurs at all levels of government. For example, you can pay taxes, renew licenses, download government forms, and access many other government services online. This is all much more convenient than in the old days when you had to go downtown and stand in lines. Let's call it a wrap for Chapter 12. You've been waiting for it. Here it is. Read the chapter. Bye.